And now, for your Wednesday Weekly Dilemma.
Welcome to your Wednesday Weekly Dilemma. You are tuned into KNOM Radio with Maddie Giffray and Matthew Smith. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Maddie. Where's our music?
I'm sorry. Do you want me to get it?
It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's the 4th of July. The music can take the day off.
That's what I was thinking. Everybody else has the day off. I didn't even think you were going to show.
Really?
I thought the dilemma was going to be me sitting here trying to think of a dilemma
by
myself.
The dilemma is sacrosanct, Maddie. Why would I ever miss it?
Did you just burp to yourself there quietly?
No.
Now it has been revealed. You choked.
I choked? Okay, you just crashed this whole thing into a tree.
Okay.
Let's back up. Let's reverse time here. Start over.
Okay, and this is what I need. I need you to be quiet while the music... This is not the right
song. It's not the right music.
Wow. Ready?
This is a disaster dilemma.
There it is.
Okay, now I feel... Okay, yeah. Okay,
yeah. Now you feel all out of sorts, ready for a dilemma.
It's like a cup of coffee.
There it is.
I'm so awake.
All right.
Yeah.
So this is... My thinking is, it's July 4th. Raise your hand if you're at work right now. I mean, I think everybody has the week... The day off, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Does that sound right?
The week, yeah. That'd be great, but...
The week.
No, the
you
day
get the
off.
Week off for this holiday. But you and I don't. Here we are. We got a dilemma. So this is good.
Yeah.
This is where we need to be. And, I mean, as many people know now, I don't think it's a secret anymore, The Morning Show has its own webpage, so if you miss the dilemma today, you can catch it tomorrow.
Yeah. It was a secret before, but not anymore.
The secret is out.
Yeah. And you know what, Maddie? I guess if anyone's really a fan out there, they have probably gone home and thought, oh, it's 9:30 on a Wednesday morning. I've got to get to a radio.
So
got to listen to these two idiots talk to each other.
Zero people did that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So hopefully people will check out the website and hear the dilemma there. Anyway.
So speaking of doing dumb things, Matthew, what's the dilemma?
The dilemma today, Maddie, involves a phrase that we've all heard before. And we're going to talk about it today.
Let's hear it.
Personal
P.S.
space.
P.S. Personal space.
Space.
Personal space is the region surrounding a person which they regard as psychologically theirs.
Thank you for reading that from the dictionary. That's very nice.
It's Wikipedia.
Even better. Even more authoritative. Personal space, it's different for everybody. And, you know, the idea came to me the other day. I was coming into Studio A to put an announcement in place. And I reached over somebody who was at the microphone. And I realized that, you know, I just came very close to, to violating their personal space. I brushed up against their shoulder and I was just reaching all over. And I just was curious. Everyone has a different concept of personal space, and I wonder if it has anything to do with where you grew up and maybe how many siblings you had. But personal space, what's right and what's wrong? Let's talk about it.
Personal space is between 1.5 feet and 4 feet away, according to this article. Would you say that's right? Were you in that person's personal space?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Were you in their intimate space?
I was within inches of their space.
Okay, that would be intimate space between 1.5 feet and 0 inches.
But that 4 feet away, like, you know, I imagine you're walking down the street and somebody starts coming at you, or I don't want to say coming at you, but someone else is walking. That 4 foot space is when you start to realize, okay, I want to make sure I don't hit this person. Right? Or if that person stops and looks at you at 4 feet away, they're violating your space because that's like the very outer limit of what I would find comfortable.
Okay. But there's some cases where you know that somebody has to come into your personal space, but you just kind of let them in and let them out. So like if you're walking by somebody on a sidewalk,
yep.
You recognize, okay, they're coming into my space. They're in and they're out, just like that. So I guess there's going to be some examples where it's okay to have even a stranger in your personal space.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if the person is kind of prepared for it, I think it's okay to kind of violate it for a moment, that personal space. Maybe that's too strong of a word.
But like with your example, this person didn't know it was coming and all of a sudden they were uncomfortable? Or were they not uncomfortable and you just thought of this?
No, I think they were a little bit uncomfortable, nothing major, but it was the kind of thing where you kind of just have to be aware. You might have a different concept of where that personal space begins and ends and what's acceptable. This person had a different concept, and I think we stepped on each other's metaphorical toes If you catch my drift,
You actually stepped on each other's toes because you were within each other's personal space.
No, metaphorical toes.
No, I like the other one better.
Okay.
All right, so let's we'll play a tune. When we come back, somehow we will discuss this further. Maybe you have some examples of when you invaded somebody's personal space. And of course, you can weigh in. This dilemma came to us through a friend. You can send us your own dilemma to morning@knom.org, and you never know, we might be talking about your dilemma this time next week. We're going to music by Kathleen Edwards on your morning show. This is new stuff from 2012, Change the Sheets. Interesting. 9:36. We've returned to your Wednesday Weekly Dilemma. We're talking about personal space. And I want to know, Matthew, do you have any examples of invading somebody's personal space on purpose?
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you mean on purpose? Like, I'm going to freak this person out?
Yeah, to make them uncomfortable.
You know,
think.
A couple weeks ago, Matt, you and I had a dilemma about hugging or handshaking.
And oh, I remember. Epic.
It was one of the best. I remember you said that you like to give people hugs because sometimes you know it's hilarious. You know they are not huggers. And I've done that before, and that, I think, is violating somebody else's personal space for fun, because...
You've done it before?
They're not anticipating a hug. They're probably not even anticipating a handshake, but you give them a heartfelt hug, and they are just kind of taken aback. And it's kind of fun to just see them try and assimilate that.
You keep using the word violated, so it's kind of freaking me out. But, like, when I say I want to hug somebody to make them uncomfortable, I do want it to get to that awkward moment where they're thinking, oh my gosh, this is such a nice, loving hug, and I was not expecting it, because I really don't know this person all that well. But violating, that's kind of a scary word.
Well, can you think of a synonym?
No. Do you want me to Google one?
Transcend somebody's personal space?
Sure.
Interrupt. How about that? Interrupt their personal space. I like that better. So I was interrupting somebody's personal space. And the funny thing is, I remember this because it was my sister's roommate and her roommate's boyfriend, who later became her roommate's husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just met them, and they had no reason to even know who I was. And I just remember seeing Shauna, and I gave Shauna the most ridiculously oversized hug, and I held it with one of those, how are you?
Weirdo.
It was deliberately weird, and it was really fun, and I know she kind of got freaked out, but my sister has a similar sense of humor, so I think, maybe a week afterward, Shauna probably enjoyed the joke, too.
A week after. It took her a week to recover. It took 7 days.
But then, prove to her that I was joking and doing this just to be weird, I did the same kind of hug to her boyfriend, which was, I have even less of a reason to hug him. So that's, violating somebody's interrupting somebody's personal space just to be funny.
It was so uncomfortable hugging him that the joke made you uncomfortable, even though you were the joker.
See, in that instance, I was the performer. I was doing this to be funny, so there's no way I could possibly feel uncomfortable. It was all on me, If I felt uncomfortable, the joke would die, but I just wanted to give them this overly tender hug and just make it funny. And it was funny, to me at least, and to my sister.
Props to you. I'm so glad I wasn't there. It would have been awkward to see. It would have been awkward to be a part of. I'm just glad I wasn't there.
You know those hugs right before someone's about to get on a plane at the airport, where they're longer and they're, thorough?
It's almost like, I want to hold you as close as possible for just a moment, because you're about to go so far away.
Yeah. It was longer than that.
My jaw just dropped for a second.
And it was nice to meet you, longest hug ever. That's what I did to both of them.
All right, good. So I'm glad you've done that before.
So that's me interrupting somebody's personal space
on purpose.
But, what are some of the places where you don't have a choice? You kind of have to have your space interrupted. Can you think of any?
Elevator.
That's the whole new rules of human dynamics enter into play in an elevator.
Elevator. Let's talk about that for a second. How odd is it? You get into a really teeny space with a bunch of people. You all face the same direction, and you don't necessarily talk to each other. It's acceptable to completely ignore those people and just watch the numbers change.
If you've ever been on a subway, that's the same thing. Some kind of a, you know, subway train, or even a train, you know, really, a standing room only kind of train.
That's one of the saddest things in the world, to just see a bunch of dead looking faces all together just shifting in unison with the bus or the train as it stops and goes. But everybody looks so dead.
It'd be impossible to go through life in a city if you couldn't turn off your instinct to know the people around you. You would be overwhelmed.
I guess as somebody who's never lived in a very, very big city, that's why I look at it and I think, oh, this is kind of sad.
I've lived in a city with a population of about 1 million people, and I took the bus all the time. And you just cannot afford to... You can't be open and alive to everybody. You would never get anything done.
Oh, great. I used to ride the bus in a city of 150,000 or so, and mm-hmm. it was definite. I know what you mean. You just, yeah. You zone out. And that was back before iPods were really big, so people mm-hmm. literally ignored each other for entertainment or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you could maybe read the newspaper or something.
What? I don't know what that is.
Before news was on the internet, they printed it on paper and they would sell it every day.
Stop lying. Just get out of here.
Sorry. I know. I'm from an antiquated age.
This is like when my mom used to tell me she used to write letters.
What?
Said it was like this weird form of email.
What?
Yeah, I know.
That's weird.
Anyway, so back to personal space, the elevator. And maybe, I don't know if you've noticed this, Matthew, but there are certain television shows that have romanticized the elevator. You get into an elevator, and if it's just you and, like, the person you happen to have a crush on, it's like an intimate moment where you have the opportunity to... You're completely cut off from the world. It's just the two of you, and you kind of cross your fingers that the elevator gets stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. I don't know if you've seen that or heard of that.
Yeah, I
the elevator, imagine. It's this place where you can move forward in a relationship. Personal space violated.
No, interrupted, Manny.
Violated.
What are some of the other places where you can't really control interrupting somebody's personal space? You said elevator, but what about if you're in line at the post office?
How about a dugout at a baseball game?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Plus, if you're in there, you probably know the people at least kind of well.
You know, here in Nome, the rec center, you know, you are walking around with people in various stages of undress, and you are interrupting their personal space constantly. And your space is being interrupted, too.
Ugh, among other things. Let's not even talk about that further.
Okay, what about...
Post office. You said in line mm-hmm. at the post office. But you're just kind of... You get over it. You're waiting in line to do something, and this is where you have to stand in order to hold your spot, right?
Yeah.
Same thing at the bank. So, there are times when it's completely acceptable, and you just kind of get over it.
I think we need to focus on when you're meeting somebody and having a one-on-one interaction. How do you gauge that? How do you gauge the personal space?
Okay, we can focus on that when we come back. One last thing, though. Maybe you don't necessarily like somebody, but you know them kind of well. Like you know somebody and they're not your favorite person, but you find yourself...
Why do all of our examples always involve someone
just
we
listen.
Don't like?
Because this is the only way it makes sense. Because if you liked the person, it wouldn't even be a dilemma. You kind of aren't the best of friends with them. And you get on, like, say, a bus with them, and there's three seats, and you're sitting really close to them and really close to a stranger. All of a sudden, you're kind of scooching yourself closer to that person you know, mm-hmm. right? And there's that personal space thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. Think about that. We'll come back with more of your dilemma if Matthew Smith sticks around. Blitz and Trapper, my hometown. Matthew, I'm so in the habit of ignoring what you say. I didn't even know what I was supposed to be thinking about during that break.
Sorry.
What was it?
I don't know.
Okay. How about, all right, so can you talk about the one that I just said where you're with somebody that's not your favorite person, but you find yourself kind of becoming part of their personal space? You know what I'm talking about?
You get these really bizarre examples, and they're always with somebody you don't like. Why do you have so many people that you don't like?
I just said this because if you're with somebody you like, then it's not a dilemma. You would just scoot over next to them,
but
put your arm around them.
Listen to how you frame the dilemma. This in and of itself is a little mini dilemma here. So, you know, it's a bonus for Wednesday on the 4th. You can have people in your life who you just aren't, like, close with, but they don't have to... The way you frame it, it sounds like they're almost enemies.
No, I didn't even say that. I said they're not your favorite person.
Yeah.
That's it.
That just, to me, is like, yeah, I have some antagonism towards this person.
Okay, so if they're...
Just say they're an acquaintance.
They're your enemy. Now you have to do it. Would you scoot toward them, or would you scoot toward the stranger?
Stranger. If they're my enemy, in the way you're sketching this out...
Oh, man, I'm trying to... I can't even, like, phrase this in a way that you're very...
Okay, you just met somebody at a mutual friend's house.
No.
And then you're both taking a bus, or you're both taking a plane ride.
I wouldn't get on a plane with them.
You would not... They're an acquaintance. You have no reason to like or dislike this person yet.
Right, I would not get on a plane with them.
That makes no sense.
Okay, so we're on a plane. We met at a party, and we're already on a plane together.
We also have a lot of parties in our dilemmas. Anyway, so I'm just, you know, you land in Nome. You're both coming into Nome for a doctor's appointment. You're here in Nome, and you're
both... Where are we coming from?
You're both coming from Savunga.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So you're coming from Savunga, you land in Nome, and you have to decide, we need a place to stay. You know, so you find a place to stay. Oh, the only place you can find is one room at the, I don't know, at a local inn. There's a single bed.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you do? Can you share a bed with the person you just met?
No.
Why not?
Are you kidding me?
Is that a violation of your personal space? An interruption of your personal space?
Is it like a twin bed?
It's like a queen bed, a bed for two people.
Okay, but you know what? The way things work... I would think you could share the room and not share the bed.
Would you? So you'd rather sleep on the floor than just say, like, hi, nice to meet you.
I am not going to share a twin-size bed with another full-grown human being.
No, not a twin-size bed, a queen-size bed.
You just said twin, though, when I asked
you. No, I said queen. I definitely said queen.
Oh, we're going to have to go back. Roll the tape. What did you say?
Replay.
It would depend on the person. It would depend on how I feel about them, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you just hug them and find out?
No, I would. And I'd see what kind of a person they are if they're...
And depending on their reaction to that hug, you may or may not share that bed.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have a bunch of bricks and I'd build a wall in between us on the bed.
You could just put pillows there.
We could saw the bed in half.
Yeah. Maddie, have you ever heard of this website, Couchsurfers?
No.
Couchsurfers is a way for you to kind of travel for free. You put a profile online and you say, hey, I'm going to travel to Greece. And if you've got a couch I can crash on, that's great.
I've heard of Couchsurfer. I just wanted you to explain it.
But it's a question of personal space. Do you trust a stranger to just open up their home and give you a place to stay that's safe?
Man, what is the conclusion going to be here? This is all just going to come down to what kind of person you are or something.
Doesn't it always?
Yeah, because there are some people who just really are all about their personal space. And you know what? Their personal space is not 1.5 to 4 feet. It's 4 feet to 10 feet.
Yeah, you know? And you're not getting into that 10-foot bubble unless you know them really well.
Right. And then if you do get in there, their intimate space is probably going to be a lot further away too. So if you get within 4 feet, they're probably thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not dating you. Get away from me.
Which means they are not going to be doing Couchsurfer. They are not going to be doing the sharing the bed with the friend they just met in Savunga.
Acquaintance, you said?
Acquaintance, sure.
And they're not going to be scooting closer toward their enemy / not their favorite person
on the bus. True. Or on the train. Or on the plane, whatever.
Matthew, do you have a favorite song you want to hear that is 3 minutes long?
No. I do have one that's 4 minutes long, though.
What do you got?
Raise 'Em Up on Honey by David Lowry. David Lowry released this song in, I think, 2011, maybe 2012. It's a great song. I'm a big fan, and I love it. So.
All right, I'll play it for you. It's probably going to cut out a little early, but here you go.
Thanks.
David Lowry. Happy Wednesday, anybody listening, and happy 4th of July. Matthew, I'd say it was a pleasure, but it was not. And I'll see you next week. It'll be July 11th when we meet again.
Can't wait. Take care, Maddie. Thanks.
So long.